the last time that you remember your faith being put to a test? Was it with the hurricane disasters? Katrina, Rita, Harvey, Isaac, we have so many. Was it September 11th, 2001? Was it a diagnosis of cancer? Or the loss of a loved one? Life is full of tests. We think when we finish school that we're done with taking tests, but nothing could be further from the truth. Before Jeff and I finished seminary, we met with a denominational staff person regarding the possibility of our going to Africa as foreign missionaries. We both wanted to do this. We had so many seminary friends from Africa, and we were excited about the possibility of serving there. However, we met with a closed door. Both of us had seminary degrees. Both of us had been called by God into ministry. But I was told at this time, the 1970s, that as a wife, I could not go to Africa and have a ministry position. Now, if I were single, I could go to Africa to have a ministry position, but because I was married, they would not allow it. I was very upset at the time. I didn't complete a seminary degree in order to waste it by not doing ministry full time. So with that door closed, Jeff and I explored the possibility of missionary service in the United States. That door was open, and that is how Jeff and I came to New Orleans, Louisiana, as missionaries in another denomination, by way of not going to Africa. When we came to New Orleans, we did not know a single soul, so we decided to sign up with Tulane University as an American host family, and we told them that we'd like to receive a student from Africa or India. And they assigned us to Dr. Kipasa, whom you've met, whom truly it was a match made in heaven. God brought us together. And for over 30 years, we have been able to share resources through his ministry and his medical work in Africa. Looking back, I am so thankful that God worked it out for us to come to New Orleans. At the time, though, my faith was definitely tested. I didn't understand why that door was shut. Sometimes we think that we're ready for a certain job in life, and we get to that point and things do not go the way that we plan. I imagine that might have been the feeling that the disciples had as they and Jesus faced this massive crowd of people that had chased them down. The people wanted help from Jesus. Jesus realized that many of them had traveled a long distance walking, or some of them may have even been running because they wanted to catch up to him. As a result, they were tired and they were hungry. So when Jesus turned to Philip and asked, "Where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat?" I think probably Philip felt very inadequate and unprepared. He may also have thought that the resources Jesus was asking for in order to feed all those people was absolutely impossible to obtain. His response showed this. He said, "Jesus, not even 6 months' worth of wages could buy enough bread for them to get even a little bit." We too, like Philip, have had similar responses to our situations. "I just don't seem to have enough to get through this. There isn't enough spiritual strength or physical resources to go around." Sometimes when we think about facing needs in our life, whether they're physical or spiritual, whether it's our need or whether it's someone else's need, sometimes we feel helpless and throw up our hands in despair, saying it's impossible. What can we do? In the case of this example in our scripture this morning, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, started to look around to find some resources for the situation. And he found a little boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Not much, but it was better than nothing. Our belief that we don't have enough in particular situations sometimes can cause us to be blinded to what we do have. Being able to open our eyes in faith to see that we have something can be the beginning of a growing faith that reaches out to meet many needs. Reverend J. Harold McKeithen, pastor in Newport News, Virginia, shares an interesting example of this. He says, quote, "If you're a parent, you may someday have the experience of being asked by your adult son or daughter what they should do about an important decision in their life. And you may realize you don't know what the best thing to do is. You don't have the knowledge or the wisdom to tell them what to do. If you follow the example of Jesus in the story of feeding the 5,000, you will remember that you do have love to share. You have your, companionship to offer that son or daughter in their making of a hard decision. And in giving your son or daughter an assurance of your love and your companionship, whatever they may decide, you may discover that you have given them something more valuable than that which they were seeking. You may have to say, in effect, like Peter, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you.' We can only give what we have to offer." After Jesus had been resurrected, Peter and John were walking into the temple one day and met a man who was asking for money because he was crippled. He had been crippled all of his life. And Peter said, "I don't have any money, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Christ. Get up and walk." And the man was leaping and praising God and joined them in worship in the temple. With Jesus by our side, we have more than we think we have. In the example of the scripture this morning, Andrew found this little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, Andrew also thought, that's not enough. But he did bring the boy to Jesus, and it became more than enough. In 1987, Jeff and I left our missionary service, the denomination that I grew up in, and we joined Felicity United Methodist Church and became United Methodist. At that time, it was part of a cooperative parish of Felicity, St. Mark's in the French Quarter, and St. Philip in the 7th Ward. We loved being a part of these 3 churches because each one was unique, and we rotated every Sunday. The pastors would rotate. So we were a part of all 3 congregations. Years later, my husband Jeff became the pastors of St. Mark's United Methodist Church. And after he was gone and other pastors came and went, the church began to decline down to maybe 10 or 15 people. And it looked like at one point that it might close forever. We were very sad because that church was such a spiritual rock for us and for the poor in Treme and for the people in the French Quarter. Aaron Neville used to sing every Christmas Eve for free. One time a year, the church would be packed. The balcony was overflowing. And Aaron Neville did that to give back to the community and to serve the Lord, because that church had ministered for over 100 years to the people of Treme. But Jesus was with that little congregation. The church experienced a resurrection. Many United Methodist churches began to partner with the feeding of the homeless at that church after worship. Our church has done that before. Some churches, though, volunteer to drive from over 100 miles away on a Sunday morning to come and share in the ministry with the homeless. The church began to grow again, and it has become a vibrant, living congregation. It's a testimony to the power of God and hope when God's people remain faithful in serving and in reaching out to new people in their community. We never know how God can use something that is small to do amazing ministry that we might think is humanly impossible. Many years ago, Toyohiko Kagawa was a boy when some Presbyterian missionaries in Japan took him into their home to befriend him. They taught him English. They gave him a Bible to read. He read and reread the words of Jesus, and his favorite was the Sermon on the Mount. He memorized the whole Sermon on the Mount, which is 3 chapters. One day, his child's heart was ready to burst with happiness when he cried out loud, "Oh God, make me like Christ." And God answered his prayer. At the age of 21, Kagawa moved into an apartment in the slums of Kobe, Japan. And he began caring for the sick and the poor and started a ministry there. That ministry grew and grew until others were doing the same in other industrial cities in Japan. And one day the Japanese government came to him and said, "Can we pay you to do this work to help serve the poor in our big cities?" The heart that had fallen in love with Christ was shared with an entire nation. You can find in the United Methodist Hymnal a beautiful prayer written by Kagawa. It's on page 429, and it's a prayer entitled, "For Our Country." He wrote it in 1950. You see the abundance of God at work, from one little boy being taken into the home of a Christian family. What act can we share with someone that could grow into a large blessing for many people? Is there a person in your life that you can encourage in their Christian faith? Is there a young person that you can take under your wing and pray for them or help them in some way? I was so blessed when I was in college and seminary to have adults who mentored me in my faith and in my journey. One young couple in the church, when they heard I was going to college and studying religion in order to serve in ministry, they gave me what is now kind of out of date with the internet, but for, 40 years I have been dragging around this book that is this thick, the Strong's Concordance. It looks up every word in the Bible and tells you all the reference places, but now, of course, you just Google it when you want to find the scripture. But that was a gift to me when I was in high school, senior, going into college for my freshman year, from a young couple who had no kids at the time. And they blessed me with that gift that I've used in my ministry for 40 years. You never know how you can be a blessing to someone. But we need to open our eyes and take off the blinders and see, who can I bless? Who can I mentor? Who can I support in growing in their faith? There was a woman who was devastated after a divorce. She went to see her pastor. Her husband had left her for someone else, and she was very comfortable financially, but felt that her life was over. And after some time and talking with her pastor, he advised her that she ought to do something bold for the Lord, something missional that she could give and offer her resources to others. So he had this idea, why don't you go to Calcutta, India, and work with Mother Teresa in serving the poor? So she thought about it. She said, hey, that's a great idea. So she wrote to Mother Teresa. And she had heard that Mother Teresa always answered her own correspondence. And she waited for months. And finally one day a letter came in the mail from Calcutta. And it simply said, to her disappointment, find your own Calcutta. Love Mother Teresa. She needed to look around where she was. And she had many, many people that she could serve in her own community. But she thought she had to go somewhere else in order to serve. There's so many opportunities for us to grow in our faith, to use the resources as modest as they may be, to bless others. God's abundance is always available to us. We just have to realize that Jesus is with us and can take what we have and meet our need and the needs of many others through our work. Maybe you have a resource that you hadn't considered before to be a resource that might just be sitting there doing nothing. May you realize that Jesus is standing there next to you, waiting to bless the gifts that you have so that others can be sustained in their lives. Who are those people? It may be your lifelong quest to find out who they are. We are having a school supply drive at Belchase for this month, to share with the children in Mexico that we partner with in mission. And Dale Smith, our mission leader, was telling this morning, I said, you know, some of the children there, they don't go to school because their parents can't afford for them to go to school. But then Dale said, some of the children don't go to school because their parents can't even afford the school supplies. So if the parents don't afford the school supplies, they don't want to send their children and have their children be embarrassed because they don't have what they need. So they don't go to school at all. So the Belchase Rotary Club is collecting, our church is collecting, others are collecting, and Reverend Berman is going to be coming to churches throughout Louisiana. He usually goes back with a whole big, huge van full of school supplies for the children in Mexico. Something that we take for granted, that's easy for us to obtain, means the difference in a child's education in Mexico. When our faith is put to the test, we can find the comforting reassurance of Jesus, who said to the disciples, don't be afraid. It is I. I am on this journey with you. We only have to put our trust in the one who can use the power of God to get the will of God done. Jesus invited Philip and Andrew to be a part of providing for the needs of that hungry crowd. And Jesus invites us today, the church, to do the same thing. Amen.